Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I'm Pastor John. The ministry of Headed Home is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find and answer the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
You know, really, it's that song is the picture of what God originally intended for us. We're able to do it again, and we won't be fully restored to the place that He desired for us until we are in His presence one day. I believe God's desire is to be face-to-face, to talk to us, and it's going to be awesome when we are restored and able to talk to Him the way that Adam and was able to talk, as we see from Scripture, in the cool of the day when he walked with him. Can you imagine how amazing that would have been? You know, Adam, with the excitement, I believe he would have had a childlike excitement. As a matter of fact, if you watch, you know, TV shows from decades ago when they didn't have all the trying to be cool factor and guys were just honest back then and happy, and, you know, even like Lawrence Welk, you see that joy in them. Can you imagine Adam in the evening, untainted by the things of the world, as he's telling God? In essence, God knows everything that happened, right? But the excitement that Adam had, feeling like he's telling God something new and exciting and something, you know, Dad, look what I did today, you know? I don't know, I just think that's really, really cool. That's the relationship God desires. The same way that we love to hear our children talk to us, to me, in my opinion, is what I believe God likes to hear with us. He wants to hear our heart. He wants to hear our struggles, battles, the joys, the triumphs, you know, the tragedies, all of it in between. So tonight, the Bible, thing God's laid on my heart, is titled, By What Authority? And if you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 20. We're going to look at verses 1 and 2. And tonight, we're going to look at a biblical authority. If you know what biblical authority is, we only have the authority that we walk in, and it's a choice what authority we walk in. Again, it's not a default. We talk about a lot of things by default, or the things that we do by an act of an overt act of our will. Tonight, we're going to see a really powerful picture that emerges in Luke chapter 20, verse 1 and 2. It was actually at a time when Jesus' authority was being challenged. We know that God has all the authority, Christ has all the authority, and the Holy Spirit has all the authority. It's awesome tonight that we know, whether we can't fully understand how it happens, that the Holy Spirit dwells within us, and it's all in us individually and uniquely, but yet at the same time, it's singular. We don't serve the Holy Spirits aren't within us, right? It is the Holy Spirit, singular. We can't understand that, can we? Anybody in here can? Because if so, I'm going to sit down. I want you to school us tonight. There's not going to be anybody that can understand that. And what's so profound about it is, though a human that was either defying spiritual logic or trying to understand that from a carnal standpoint, they would argue with you about, no, it cannot be a singular form. I don't even have any question tonight the fact that the Holy Spirit can dwell in each of us uniquely and individually, yet but one. It is awesome. It's a profound concept. It's very comforting, it's very encouraging, but it also puts me in my spiritual place in the recognition that His ways are not my ways and His thoughts are not my thoughts. Does not change the validity and the reality of truth. It is an unchanging truth that's rooted in God Himself, and it's exciting, it's encouraging to me. And the question tonight is, by what authority? Tonight, what authority are you walking in? What authority tonight are you allowing prayer and the prayer life and the spiritual warfare realm that we all battle? Are you walking in the authority that's going to be effective in dealing with the things? Or is your prayer life effective because you're utilizing the property authority structure? People don't realize the importance. It's even with healing in Scripture. We know in Scripture that when you and I see someone, the potential is for us to say, hey, let's go pray over them that God would heal them. Well, I struggle with that because it's not biblical. Well, Brother Jonathan, why is it not biblical? Because the Bible says that the person who's sick has to call the people, call the elders together, what Scripture says, right? Amen? Or oh me means we need to be taught. That means that the power of God's healing hand is done when we follow the biblical model and the pattern for what God says. The same way that when Scripture talks about coming into the pen through any other door, you come through the gate, which is Christ Jesus. Anybody comes in any other way, what are they? A thief, a liar, a robber, right? They have no ability and no authority to be inside of that sheep pen unless they've come in through Christ Jesus. If I remember correctly, it's been, what, 2 years ago? Does anybody remember my dad preaching on that? I love sitting and hearing because I still have a mental picture. When I hear anything and I'm not the one doing it, I get this incredible mental picture, and I will never forget the mental picture I got that night. I could see the pen, I could see everything, and I could see literally Christ as the door. And going through that door in Christ, so profoundly beautiful and powerful. But yet, even yesterday, I was having a conversation with someone who is a little bit worried. It's a ministry opportunity now, incredible one, because the person's concerned about the birth pangs happening all over the world. They're not a Christian. They're very, very, very immature spiritually in any knowledge of the things of the Lord. And I was sharing with them yesterday about how this is not a disconcerting thing for me. It's a comforting thing as things are unraveling all around us, and how that in knowing the Lord that there's great comfort in it. And then they began to say, well, you know, I've been a good person, and I genuinely try to do the right things. Y'all, that makes me giggle inside because I'm like, oh, Lord, thank you, right? God's giving you the opportunity right there to know where their heart is and what blessing, because that is not a human-initiated conversation. That is God, that it goes before me and goes before you. And when you have those conversations, because God has, you ready, blessed you with the opportunity of being able to have one of those. What an honor to have those. And are you enabling the Lord to lead you to those? And it does, maybe doesn't happen every day with you, might not happen every month with you. But when God presents that opportunity, are you taking advantage of it? And in that, what authority are you walking in as you're having those conversations? If you're doing that with the biblical knowledge that you or I have, we're in trouble, because we don't walk through those doors and walk into those conversations because we've been the one. It needs to be initiated and led by God, because then God has prepared and will prepare and work on hearts so that those conversations will be effective. And he'll not only do that, he'll put the words in our mouths that we're to say to them. That's what's so comforting in Scripture. But I hope you found Luke chapter 20, verses 1 and 2. And if you're able physically tonight, let's stand out of reverence for the reading of God's Word. One day, as he was teaching the people in the temple and proclaiming the good news, the chief priests and the scribes with the elders came and said to him, "Tell us, by what authority are you doing these things? Who is it who gave you this authority?" Father, thank you tonight, Lord, for your word. God, for the truth of it. Lord, thank you tonight that we are able to walk in the authority of Christ Jesus, death, burial, and resurrection, the authority, Father, of forgiveness, of redemption. We're able to walk in the authority of the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells in us, Lord, that leads us, that guides us, that convicts us. Father, thank you. I pray tonight, Lord, that your word would go forth in power, not only here, but all over the globe, that if there's one watching online or in this building that has never come to saving faith in Jesus Christ, you'd prepare their hearts, that you would convict them, and that you'd draw them unto yourselves. Lord, we commit all this to you, and we ask it in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So it's awesome. We got this picture of Jesus, right? So he goes in the temple. He's proclaiming the good news. The chief priests, the scribes, the elders came. Why? They weren't coming to tell them. They were excited. Man, we're so excited you've come to share the gospel, the good news with us. You know, we're just blown away that you have such a heart for us, and we're excited to have you among us. We're excited. We've been looking forward to this for millennia, and we are just overwhelmed about God's power, his goodness, and Zechariah has prophesied this 400 years ago, right? We're in this period of time after, right before this time when the Palm Sunday happened. You know, we've got this beautiful picture right here of God's divine providence. But no, they're not there for the right reason. They're there because they had rejected who Jesus was. They were merely trying to find ways to bring charge against him, to get Jesus removed, to get Jesus ultimately killed. And when you look at that first verse, this is the first thing I'm going to share this tonight with you. Number one, Jesus proclaimed good news. Jesus proclaimed not only good news in who he was and what his ministry was, what his mission was, but Jesus was plain with the authority with which he came in. Isn't that interesting that Jesus tried in no way to steal any glory or power for himself? What did he say? I've come to do what? The will of the Father. Jesus yielded himself to the Father and walked in the power of the Holy Spirit. He was what? This Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove. Why did Jesus have the ability to be sinless? Because of the power of the Holy Spirit that dwelled in him. You know, really, we have the tools in our spiritual toolbox to be sinless. Do you know that? Has anybody ever thought of that? Do you realize we have the tools in our spiritual toolbox to be sinless? Because if we will yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit of God, we have the ability and the authority in the power of the Holy Spirit to resist sin. But we have a what problem? Sometimes we have a self-will problem. We have a desire problem. We allow the deceitfulness of sin to drag us away, right? And we allow sin to give birth, and sadly, the implications and consequences of it sometimes are a whole lot more than we would think they are. But see, Jesus came to proclaim good news. Jesus came to give life, and the authority that Jesus was plain in was the authority of the Father, the authority of the one that had commissioned and sent him to do what he did. And then the part of that second verse there, so then the prophet scribe, they came, they said to him, tell us by what authority you're doing these things. What are they inferring? They're inferring that Jesus had no authority to say and do what he had and was saying in the first place. You don't even have any authority to do what you're doing, this Jesus guy. Who are you? What are you? You can't do that. Why? We are the law keepers. We're the law. We're the lead dogs around here. You don't have any dog in this fight, in essence. The second thing is, by the authority of God the Father, Jesus had all authority. See, Jesus had all authority because God had given them the authority to work and to act within the realm and the scope of what Jesus had been sent to do. And the question with us is, what authority tonight are you walking in? I got a question. What authority are you praying in? You better qualify that prayer with "in Jesus' name." You better. Does anybody know why? You have no authority to walk into the Holy of Holies unless the eternal high priest has sacrificially robed you in that robe of righteousness, and you better make sure, and then I better make sure, that reiterate with what authority we enter God's presence. And that's through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, who gave us that authority to enter God's presence. I think it's very important for us to remember that, keeping in mind, don't excuse "in Jesus' name" from your prayers. Well, Brother Jonathan, does it matter? Absolutely it matters. Again, we have no authority to be in God's presence apart from the finished work of salvation through Christ Jesus, period. End of story. There is none. If Jesus had not died, if Jesus had not paid the sin debt for us, if Jesus had not been sinless, if Jesus hadn't risen from the dead, you and I, this very moment, would have zero ability to enter God's presence. We would have no authority with which to enter God's presence. Not only that, we'd be in hot water as Gentiles, would we not? It'd be a whole different ball game, a whole different shooting match. We would be, right now, objects of God's wrath. That's horrifying, in my opinion. There's nothing about that they're like, well, maybe things would have worked out. No, I'm so thankful that the Jewish people rejected the Messiah. I'm so thankful, though, that not even that, not only did Jesus die on the cross, that Jesus paid our sin debt, that Jesus rose from the grave and gave us the authority to enter God's presence. I am so thankful that God gave us the Holy Spirit to dwell in us, the Comforter, I'm so thankful that the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, the leading power of the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit is able to do all that it does, that not only that, it will never leave us and never forsake us. Remember up the old covenant, what did the Holy Spirit do? It would come upon someone for a specific purpose or work, and then after that was fulfilled, it would go. Aren't you thankful tonight that we're able to walk in the anointing power of the Holy Spirit? That when we don't know what to say or to pray, the Bible says the Holy Spirit will intercede with us with things that cannot be understood. Aren't you thankful for that tonight? I know I am. I don't care what anybody ever says. If God was to call us to go to Alaska tonight, and God put me in a church up there, and they came and said, listen, now be real careful, that Holy Spirit stuff makes us nervous. I said, y'all getting ready to get real nervous. Because if you want me to be quiet about the Holy Spirit, you got the wrong man in the building. I'm not going to be, and I cannot be not only ashamed, but I am not going to dull it down or quiet it down to risk someone believing that I'm too charismatic. I don't care what you think. I don't care if you think I'm a Baptist or want me to be this, that, or the other. I want walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, follower of Jesus Christ that loves God's word, loves him, and is not defined by denominational bounds. Because we are united in Christ Jesus. And on Sundays, as you have people all over the globe worshiping Myanmar, that's where the person that he's a pastor in Myanmar, his wife, they just moved to Unionville. I worked with his daughter last night for just a few minutes as a shift change. Found out she's a pastor's daughter, and I invited them to come to church, but they're from Myanmar. And what's amazing is if they were in Myanmar, whether in Unionville, Tennessee, or somebody's anywhere else all over the globe, you know what's so neat? We are united in Christ Jesus. There's people that we could be put in front of tonight that are just as passionate about Jesus as we are, and unless you have that Google Translate app, we'd be literally looking at each other, looking like two animals trying to talk to each other. It ain't going to work, is it? You got a bird and you got a monkey. It's not going to work. They have no idea what each one's saying, but each one's saying something unique and individual, aren't they? Take your dog and your cat. The cat meows, the dog barks. They're saying something. Some of them say it better than others, but they both have a language. They're both praising God. They're both speaking to one another. But that's what happens with some of these believers across the globe. We'd sit in front of each other and go, I don't have a clue what they're saying. You know what's wild? We'd be united with them because we have a central focus. The central focus is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the propitiation, the payment for our sin. We are united with them whether we can talk or not. And I bet if we started singing, we'd have them singing the tunes because they would know the tune. They may not know the American or English words. They may not know the words from whatever country they were from, but guess what? They would sing in their language and we would sing in our language and we would be united singing the exact same thing. When they're reading the Bible in their native language, we're reading the same thing. They're just reading it in a language that they understand. And I'm so thankful that that central core, by the authority of God in Christ Jesus, for the payment, the remission, the remediation, the propitiation for sin, the payment for sin, that is what has united us. What authority tonight are you walking in? What authority with which are you praying in? Are you trying to misuse God's word and say, well, I'm going to go pray over them so God would heal them? Wait a minute. Why don't we wait till God and maybe encourage them? Hey, I'd encourage you to read this scripture. Don't tell them what, why, how, or where. Lead them to it and then let the proper channels unfold so that they can be guaranteed the healing that God wants to do. But we have to do things in an authority structure that's not ours. And that's the question. Are you allowing the authority structure of God's word to lead your life? Or do you in the good intentions we have want to sit down with the prodigal so that they'll come home? If I don't ever let them leave the gates, I can keep ministering to them so they come to it and they can start to understand where they're wrong and they'll come home. You go ahead and do that, you'll love them to the grave. And by the way, you got a potential love them to the grave lost. Because God's word has a specific authority structure and a specific set of instructions on how to deal with these. And if you and I think that we can usurp, sidestep, sideline God's word because you and I are so faithless that we don't trust God to do it, and we've got an unrepentant brother or sister that you will not let go like Scripture says to do it, and believe that God's going to reward that, I don't know what you're reading, but you're not reading what I'm reading, or maybe you are, but you are in direct violation. Maybe you're the one he's prayed for more than your child does right now, amen? So that you can have prayers that begin to actually function the way that they're supposed to, because you're trusting God in total faith as Scripture doesn't call you to, it demands us to, amen? You want the authority of the word and the work of God to commence as God's called it to. It will not be done in disobedience, church. It cannot be. That's the same thing as saying that God decided to raise somebody else up to go to Nineveh because Jonah didn't want to go. That's like saying that, you know what, God just mistakenly did away with Gideon. They were going over and he hid the Achan, the sin of Achan, taking that stuff, the defiled, hey, putting it, the devoted stuff to the Lord, putting it under his tent, burying it in his tent. Hey, Lord, ain't no big deal. You know, I just saw it and I need it a little bit. God, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? God did not allow judgment to commence and should not, right? Because Achan just had, you know, he had some needs he needed to take care of. No, we can't sidestep what God, with everything in his truth, power, and authority, has said must be done the way that God says it should be done. See, by the authority of God, Christ Jesus had the authority that God gave him. We can't do things our way, church. We can. You can all day long. You can decide not to listen. You can decide to go and pray over people and not ever give them the opportunity to do what Scripture says. Them to call. Not you to call. Not me to call. Them to call. Because you see the whole entire pattern of that. You know what? The prayer of the righteous availeth much. What Scripture says. It talks about anointing them with oil. It talks about what? All of the whole entire. It gives the whole prescription to receive healing, deliverance, freedom. But we've got to do it scripturally. Just because we don't like, and just because we might have a controlling personality that wants to be there to direct the healing and direct the salvation and direct all these things that we think should happen the way that we want them to happen, we can do that and God will let us do it. But I ask you right now, how many sons, daughters, mothers, fathers, grandmothers, grandfathers, great-grandmothers, great-grandfathers, friends have never come to Christ or maybe took decades after because someone would not follow the scriptural pattern and trust in total faith that God would do his part when they had to follow the part that they were not comfortable doing, but they had to trust him, just like the prodigal son's father. And you know what he was doing? He had to let him go, but you know what he was doing? He had anticipation after he'd let him go. He was looking down the road. What was he doing? And I you think he did that, went, ooh, finally, get that dude out of here. No, I bet it broke his heart. I bet it broke his heart having to separate fellowship with his child. If it didn't, he wasn't human. But he trusted God's truth and God's word over the selfish desire to keep somebody there that the Bible did not give him the ability and the authority to remain under his roof. Look what God had in store. He had a homecoming. I ask you, would the prodigal son have ever come home had the father not honored what God called him to do? Well, he would have never left. Meaning, would he have ever come home spiritually had the prodigal son's father not trusted God in total faith and had to be blind to the situation as he put him in the hands of the Lord, committed him to prayer, and could no longer actively have his eyeballs on his son to keep him where he thought he could and to minister to him. Church, don't try to sidestep God's word, because what we're doing is sidestepping the authority with which victory, with the power of God, the Holy Spirit's work, where God supremely works greatest of all, is when we get our hands off of things in the authority of the power of God, allow things to be done the way that God has commanded and called us to have them dealt with. And the last little part of that verse 2 tonight, and then we're finished. Who is it who gave you this authority? So then tell us by what authority you're doing these things, and who is it that gave you this authority? They're asking Jesus, why are you doing this, and who gave it to you? Who do you think, basically they're saying, who do you think you are? We're the spiritual leaders here. Who and what do you think you are is what they're inferring in this. what they're saying, basically. And then tonight, the last question is a question. We leave you the question. What authority are you operating in tonight? What authority are you operating in tonight? When you're praying, do you recognize the authority structure spiritually of in Jesus' name? Are you recognizing in your prayer life that not only has God always promised to provide for our needs, but are you praising Him? Are you adoring Him? I've talked about that PACTS method, praise, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Are you praising Him? Are you adoring Him? Are you confessing sin? Are you thanking Him? And then your supplications, the last part in that is asking Him to meet needs. See, God already knows it. He knows what the needs are. But He still wants to hear from us. When you close those prayers out, are you specifically making sure that you say, in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus, I pray? You know how we say it. Why? Because there is no authority to enter God's presence, and we are 100% again reiterating the fact that, God, we were in your presence because of what Jesus Christ did. Lord, my Savior, my King, my God. Do you thank God? Do you thank God for the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells? God, thank you. Lord, please have your Holy Spirit restrain me from the battles and the struggles that rage within, Lord. Don't let my thoughts be taken over by things that may not honor and glorify you. God, don't let me step in and step in the way of what you're doing in my prodigal child's life, my prodigal mother, my father, my grandmother, grandfather, my friend. Lord, don't let me step in the middle of what you're doing. And Lord, even with good intentions, find myself at odds or at enmity with you, Lord. God, keep me well aware of the truth, and don't let me be taken captive by my good intentions, Father. Let your Holy Spirit snatch me up the moment I catch myself trying to operate in a realm that I've got no business being in. Lord, don't let me take healing from a friend, a neighbor, a loved one, somebody I care a lot about, because my desire to see them made whole trumps the biblical call that you do in the realm of prayer and in healing and anything else for that matter. God, please don't let me be taken captive by false doctrine that is contradictory to your word, because there's so much out there right now. Lord, it's so easy to be taken captive by things that in no way would honor and glorify you. Thought processes that sidestep the power of God, and they're things that are so well-meaning in the people's lives, but they are ungodly and they're anti-Christ. God, don't let me as much as look at one of those fortune things, those horoscopes. Lord, let your Holy Spirit restrain any and everything in me. Don't let me inadvertently even let my eyes be laid on something that would hurt to bring glory and dishonor, shame and reproach on your name. I ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ. And you want to even do this? Go to the neighborhood, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen? Amen? You're showing that I'm not just saying Jesus. I'm talking about the Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord. I recognize there's a geocaching importance of where he came from. I'm talking about my Lord, my Savior, my King. God, let the Holy Spirit, not Lord, King David, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Remove not your Holy Spirit from me. Amen. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Great prayers, great understandings, though. Recognize what we have is by grace and through faith. We have to have a life. We need to be in a biblical mind frame in our walk with Christ, and not our spiritual mind interpreting things the way we want it to and forming it to justify things that we want to justify. We want to honor, glorify, and lift up the Lord with the lives that we live. And it takes living for Christ on purpose. Waking up every morning and reading your word is not going to happen by default. I'm sorry, it's not going to. You are going to have to defy the, you want to call it lazy, defiant nature, whatever it is that we all have within us, whether it's to lay in bed half the morning and then say, oh, sorry, Lord, I ran out of time. No, we have to defy the human desire to literally be at war, in a sense, spiritually, in that realm of, you know, God, I'll pray extra today. You know, Lord, I got tied up and I got busy. Tied up? He got hung up. for us. And he stayed there and faithfully finished the work of salvation, and every single thought, word, action, every sin was hung, and he did not breathe his last breath till he had faithfully completed the work for us. Don't you think we can get up in the morning and spend some time with him? Is it too much to ask for the God? Remember, I don't get anything for this. Saying this to you, I don't get any personal benefit other than the benefit of being a shepherd that wants to see you walk in the fullness of Christ. I'm not selling Bibles. I don't even sell those little plans right there. I've heard people say, you know, you could get a couple bucks for those. Yeah, right, you can. Sure, you could. I'd give this to the world. I care that much about. This is of vital importance in your life. You know that if you don't read your Bible, I won't lose sleep at night? You will, but I won't, because I don't know if you're not reading it. I can see footprints in lives a lot of times and know when people aren't, or the basic assumption of it. But at the end of the day, I still go to bed at night. I still go to sleep if you're not in obedience before the Lord. But my desire is for you to be in obedience, because in the authority that you walk, you have an obligation to get in the presence of the one who has given the authority to us. And if you want to walk fully in that authority obediently, you cannot do that without getting in the presence of the one who has given us that authority, who paid the price, who redeemed us, who's called us into the work that God has established and prepared in advance. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that he prepared for us. They're not even our works, unless we're working under our own authority. Now that is that thing when you see people go, oh, man, I think this would be great. You know, boy, just think of the outreach or the this or the that we could do. Never prayed about it. Never spoke to brothers and sisters in Christ, a godly counsel about it. Hey, what do you think about this? No, we thought it was a great idea, and we just ran lock, stock, and barrel, run out there and decide we're going to do what we want to do with no biblical or spiritual authority to do it. What do you think ends up happening? Train wrecks. The whole entire of history is littered with people that had the grandest of intentions. The first one right off the bat that I think of is King Saul. Well, I'm going to offer that, you know, because we want to win this battle. And we know God wants, I'm just paraphrasing. Wait, we got to go out there and rock and roll. Samuel's late. The sacrifice must be done. I'll do it. Y'all just hang tight. As soon as he gets done offering that sacrifice, Samuel shows up. You fool, basically. Look what you've done. He lost the kingship because of it. He decided to model the plan for that after what he thought was right. Because remember, he was doing a good Christian thing, right? He was doing a good Christian thing. He was doing something any good man of God would want to do, right? We want to go out there and we want to wear him out in Jesus' name. Not then in Jesus' name, right? You're walking in the power of God under the old covenant. He was doing a good thing. He did a good thing the wrong way. A good thing the wrong way is wrong. And it's not a good thing. No matter how we convince ourselves of that. When the sacrifice is not supposed to be made by anyone other than the Levites, what is the recommendation? Get away. Stay back. Hold back. Calm down. Let God do what God does. He's an on-time God. Isn't it ironic? Saul had seen plenty of God's miracles, his power, the work of God. Why in the world would he not trust God in the timing of Samuel's arrival? The same way that us being filled with the Holy Spirit will do the same thing now. The difference is, I think Saul has more of an excuse than we do when we do this. Because we are operating under the authority of the Holy Spirit that will compel us at the proper time, lead us at the proper time, open the doors at the proper time, shut the doors at the proper time, and will align everything that he wants us to do in accordance with Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Saul back then, He wasn't walking in the continual anointing power of the Holy Spirit leading him and guiding him in that respect. He was looking at it from the carnal sense and the human sense, saying, well, I want to try to do a good spiritual thing and get the show on the road. Tonight, by what authority are you operating in? And that's what I'll leave you with. What authority are you operating in? What authority are you praying in? What authority are you sharing with people the power of God's healing in? Are you trying to compel the Lord to come and heal and to do this and to show up in these situations by doing things the wrong way? I don't think Longview has as much trouble with that, because what you're showing with this down here is y'all have realized you've gone as far as you can go, and you know that God's the only one that can work in the hearts of these ones that you're laying week in and week out at God's feet. You're realizing that the words have been said. We can no longer do what only God can do. It's beautiful because it shows that basic faith of mustard seed. The Lord, you know my heart's desire, but God, I'm going to get in your presence until you transform them. We know what your desire is. We know what your will is. And God, we're praying, Lord, not our will, but yours be done. Your will is that ones come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. His will is that none should perish, what the Bible says. Tonight, by what authority are you walking in? What authority are you acting in? What authority are you making decisions in your work situations, family situations, retirement situations? By what authority tonight are you loving your spouse? Are you loving your family? Because if any of those are out of line, or any of those structural way that you go about dealing with those things, if it's not right, brothers and sisters, the blessing of God many times can be excused by our lack of loving, honoring, glorifying, but most of all, submitting the authority structure that God has called us to live under. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, tonight for your word, God, the encouragement of it, challenge, the conviction of it. Lord, thank you tonight in the authority of Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our King. Father, we have been paid for. We have been bought with a price. Father, thank you tonight that we can be robed in a robe of righteousness because of his death, burial, and resurrection. Father, thank you, Lord, that it's salvation. You entrust the Holy Spirit in us to live in us. God, you give us that to convict us, to lead us, to guide us, to correct us. Father, all those things that the Holy Spirit does, we thank you. We give you glory, honor, dominion, power, and praise. You deserve it. Father, I pray during this invitation tonight, Lord, for anyone in this room or watching online may not know you as Lord and Savior. Right now, they know maybe about you. Lord, if your Holy Spirit has convicted them and helped them understand it, they're at the place, Father, where they can confess their sin, place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and ask you to be their Savior and the Lord of their life. Pray tonight, Lord, if that is what needs to be done, that it would be done before this day closes. Father, your word shares how quick life is, so short, it's but a vapor. Father, I pray that we'll live with that in our minds, continually recognizing the brevity, the shortness of life. Father, thank you for the plans and purposes you have for us. I pray that during this invitation, if anything's not where it should be, or we are lifting up situations, God, that you know what needs to be done, but we don't, Father, I pray as we lay those at your feet, you will, in your perfect time, give clarity and wisdom on those situations as only you can. Father, may you alone be glorified tonight. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, our King, our Lord. We ask his name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Headed Home with Pastor John. If you'd like to know more about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, please visit our website at longviewbaptistchurch.org. And click our contact link. Thank you for joining us.